Family, friends and teachers expect us to excel, and when we don't, we feel that somehow we have failed them and ourselves. We lose confidence, we fail. Some turn to drug usage to blur the pain of failure. When she was 17 and probably already using heroin, Mary wrote in her diary that there are lots of things that would make me happy, but I think mainly I'd have to really accomplish something. If I were to write a book, I couldn't be happy with that. I'd have to write a good book, the best book, or I wouldn't want it to be my book. I want to be able to say, this is my book and I'm proud of it. Not, that book made me a lot of money and now I have a big pool and a grand piano. To say things like this, it sounds like I expect a lot of myself, but I don't. I expect very little from me, and the one thing I can proudly say is that I never disappoint myself. There are a lot of people out there who expect more, and I'm constantly disappointing them. I don't mean to disappoint people, and I don't like to disappoint people either. I just do. I think I'm like advertising. I can present myself in such a way that I can look really spectacular, but then the safety inspector comes along and says that my corners are too sharp, and a small child could easily have his eye out. If I were a toy that were to be taken off the market, I'd be some kind of Nerf gun that looked fantastic, but then when you pull the trigger, the little foam balls wouldn't shoot out. I'm afraid Neri Bubb just doesn't perform. Neri turned to drugs out of a sense of daredevilment and a wish to experiment and live a bit on the edge. She didn't climb mountains. She didn't drive fast cars. She didn't sail the Southern Ocean. She used drugs to get her thrills, to make herself a more exciting person, to speak with confidence and to act with a sense of power. And then she needed them to give her back that confidence that the drug usage had sapped. Neri was 18 when her sister, in tears, rang me from the University of Queensland to tell me that Neri was addicted to heroin and that she was worried about the extra strong batch of heroin circulating in Canberra. I met with Neri over a beer at Adams Hotel. Of course she denied it and told me not to worry. She would never be addicted. Yes, she'd tried party drugs, but never heroin. Of course I was worried. Of course she used heroin and I knew it. But she was always very good at hiding it from me, ensuring that when she and I were together, she would appear in control, normal, happy. It was a difficult choice. Should I attempt to force help on the child I love so much and risk alienating her, or should I stay there quietly, letting her know that I'd always be there to help her when she needed it? I did the latter. Perhaps I was wrong. The shame of drug use stopped her from seeking my help, the one person close to her who might have been able to give it. Having said that, my ability to help Neri was limited by other factors. I had two other daughters, Lisa, who needed my financial and emotional support so that she could study in Brisbane, and Karina, who was 10 years old and whose father exhibited all the symptoms of clinical depression. Karina needed me more than most children would have. I could not devote my life to Neri. I couldn't even offer her a permanent home with us until she could live a normal life, because Karina's father opposed that, and with good reason. Living with someone who uses drugs is difficult and even dangerous. Society would have supported his view. It becomes a social issue to remove that shame, the stigma and the dangers associated with these drugs, and to treat drug usage as an illness, not as a crime. These children need our help, not our condemnation. Neri eventually supported her habit by prostitution. It was better than begging or stealing. A man who loved her told me that Neri had decided that she was going to be bad, she might as well be really bad. She hid that from me too, but of course I had suspicions. It was truly horrible for me as a parent to confront the idea that the child I had suckered throughout her childhood was now in a perilous situation, living what to me and most of us would be an appalling life of the sort that we'd only have to confront in times of turmoil, such as war, when survival mattered above all else. Is this war with the drug lords any different to the bombs and gun sort? Neri fought. Her diary, titled Little Book Full of Nothing of Interest, describes her anguish as she injected in her comfortable garden flat in Reed and saw the blood dripping down her arm like some hopeless junkie. She tried so hard, so many times, with inappropriate medical assistance where the solution was simply antidepressants. She tried giving up her friends, but they pursued her. And in despair and pain, she turned back to them and the relief that the awaiting needle offered. When she was 20, we had a conversation and discussed the meaning of life and death. Were lives worth living at all costs? Does one owe one's life to others? Are we islands, or are we all essential parts of the continent of humankind, intertwined in an undefined way, but all dependent on each other, and all of us diminished by the death of any one of us? I knew that Neri thought she had to stay alive for me. I had to tell the daughter whom I love so much that I believe that no one had to live solely for someone else. I had to give her permission to die, if that's what she wanted, if that was her only escape. But let us not forget that when the bell tolls, it tolls for all of us. Neri fell in love, which would have helped if it had happened earlier, but it was too late. Her mind was tattered from using all sorts of drugs in her attempt to escape the grip of heroin. She feared for her sanity and she hated her past. I think she felt she could not offer anyone a future, and she held no hope for her own future. She asphyxiated herself in her boyfriend's car. The autopsy showed no signs of drugs in her body. Neri was 21. The world lost one of its best. Her family still miss her, but I still hear her voice in my head, and I still listen to the comments she might have made. If, as a society, we treated those caught in the web of drug use with more compassion and humanity, we would have a better society. Because you are here today, I'm sure you agree with me, but there are many who do not. In her diary, Neri wrote of Mark and the reaction of his family to his death. Mark died on Tuesday from a heroin overdose. Beck, I understand, is upset, remarkably so. I guess that's fair enough. Parting with someone on undesirable terms isn't easy. Beck says that at the funeral, not one of his relatives got up and said anything nice. Apparently, his mother's been waiting for him to die for 2 years. All the priest did was rant about the evils of drugs and left any means of religious consolation unsaid. No one cried, except for Beck. Mark is dead. People die all the time. You hear about it all the time, and I think about my own death a fair bit. But when someone you know dies, be it only a vague acquaintance, it's rather upsetting. Neri's funeral wasn't like Mark's. Friends said very good and positive things about her. The celebrant was sympathetic, and the chapel was overflowing with friends and family. But despite the positive aspects, there was a blackness of despair and a huge sense of loss and guilt. People who use drugs come from all walks of life, and none of us is immune. In the wrong circumstances, any one of us could become entangled. We don't think of the girl or boy walking down the streets at King's Cross as being someone that we could have been best friends with at high school. I think we react with denial instead of assistance because we don't believe it can happen to us. Neri needed all the encouragement we could give her, and we, her family, friends and society, did not give enough. Neri was very vulnerable, suffering from uncertainty and feeling overwhelmed by lack of hope for anything but the next encounter with the drug dealer. I want to change social attitudes towards people who are the victims of drug abuse, and I ask the help of all of you. We have to understand why and how drug use becomes a problem. People who use drugs are not bad, they are suffering. We have to offer hope and compassion and positive assistance. Neri's words were always more powerful than mine, and I'd like her to end this for me. You again, my false friend, pallid, sleepy, glucose blend. I relax with you, sleep with you, smile with you, hide with you, and when death comes, I die with you. In your absence, I feel pain. I think with veins and not my brain. Fly and try, lie, sigh. With shrunken eyes, you make me cry. Thank you.